Good Vacher Rabosai, today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Aleph, bearing down on the end of Masechet Shabbos, Kemat staring us in the face. Today we are finishing the 20th perek in the Masechta, and we are on Kuf Mem Amud Beis by the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says like this, Gorfin Milifnei HaPetem. HaPetem is a, Rashi says, Shor Shemefat Minoso, is a cow that they are fattening for slaughter. So you are on to Gorfin, Gorif. We had that word by Akira, that would be Gara from Kotum. So you're allowed to sweep out what? Sweep out a trough before an ox that you're trying to fatten up before Shabbos, right? Rashi, in order to put in food, and so that it shouldn't mix with any dirt and whatever. Umisalkin l'tzadin mipnei harei, and you're also allowed to move around food that's on the stall floor, because so it doesn't get mixed up with any excrement that from the cow. Divrei Rabbi Dosa, but chachamim say it's usher, and the Gemara will explain what exactly is going on over here. Notlin milafnei behema zu, v'notlin milafnei behema zu b'Shabbos. You're allowed to take food from one animal and give it to another animal on Shabbos. It's not considered, Rashi says, it's not considered tiltul d'lochazi. It's not considered unnecessary tiltul, unnecessary moving. As we'll see exactly in the Gemara, we'll explain exactly which animal, from which animal to which animal, and obviously that's considered usable. You're moving food that is for animals, right? It's not mukta, and the tiltul, the carrying that you're doing, is not unnecessary, because the second animal will eat it. So let's see what's going on in the Gemara. So, Iboilu, the Rabbanan Aresha Pligi or Asefa Pligi. What are the Chachamim arguing on? When they say the Chachamim Osran, is that the Gorfin Lefnei Petem? Or Mesalkin Lefneat Stadim? Is that sweeping the trough or moving away the straw in the stall so it doesn't mix with the excrement from the animal? So what are they arguing on? Oh, sorry, stop a little early. Oh, Atarvayu Pligi. Or maybe they argue on both. So the Gemara says, Toshma, bring your proof. You're not allowed to move either way, either the dirt or meaning in the trough or in the stall, Rashi says, either one. So apparently they argue on both. So Rav Chista says, so that seems to be, that's a machlokas by both of them. Rav Chista comes to explain, machlokas be'evas shal karka, the machlokas between Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim, it was when, by the trough, that's when it's made out of dirt, meaning it's a trough in the ground. Like if you can imagine, like, you know, you dump it on the ground, and you have a little kind of walls that are built into the ground. And Avol shall kli divrei kol mother. But everybody agrees, if you have a trough that's kind of set up, it's like a kli, it's a utensil, right? Like most troughs that are, it's a metal kli, so then that is going to be mutter to sweep away around. Rashi says, what would be the concern with the trough in the ground? So again, we've mentioned several times, that's something called Meshavei Gumos, that if you are sweeping the ground, it could be that you will come to fill in the cracks or smooth out the mounds in the ground, make the ground flat, and that may be an union of bona. So here, you're not obviously trying to do that, but certainly bona derabanan, perhaps. Okay, the Gemara says, one second. If Eva Shalkarka, Miika, Laman, Deshari, does anybody agree, allow you to sweep an avos, a trough that's in the ground? Ha, Kamashavi Gumos, right? This issue that I just jumped the gun, as I usually do. It's an issue of Mishavi Gumos. It could be that you're smoothing out the ground, and that's going to be an issue. Maybe it's even Daraisa. Maybe I misspoke. I'm not even sure. Maybe it's Daraisa. But either way, certainly it's smoothing out the ground. It's going to be a problem. It's going to be usher. I'm Rabbi Chista. Machlokas be'evas shel kli, right? The machlokas is by a kli that the Chachamim and Rabbi Dosa argue. The Chachamim say the gozer sweeping out a trough that's a kli because you may come to sweep out a trough that's in the ground. Okay, I take it back. It probably is daraisa because when you usually don't have a darabanan on a darabanan, usually, right? Usually the darabanans are going to be trying to safeguard the daraisas. So if you would do it in the ground, right, just to finish the Gemara to the two dots, Abba Be'eva Shokarka, the Rekol Osir, everybody agrees that sweeping a trough that's in the ground, that's going to be a Meshavei Gumos, that could be an Isur Daraisa Bona. But the Machlokas of the Mishnah is simply whether you extend that at their Dindir Abanan to sweeping the troughs that are actually Kalim and not set in the ground. Okay. But no Tzir Milufnei Behema. And you're allowed to take in front of one animal, you're allowed to give it to another animal. Tanachada, no Tzir Milufnei Behema She Piha Yafe. V'nosin l'fnei behema shapira. One brisa says you're allowed to take food from an animal that has a nice mouth and gives it and give the food to an animal that has a bad mouth, and we'll explain what that means in a second. V'hantani idach, another brisa says, notin l'fnei behema shapira. V'nosin l'fnei behema shapira yafe. You're allowed to take food from an animal that has a bad mouth and give to an animal that has a good mouth. Amar Abai, Abai explains, ide v'ide mekami chamra lekamri Torah shaklina. Right? Either way, both brises are saying that it's mutter to take food from a donkey and give it to a cow. Right? But mekami Torah lekamri chamra lo shaklina. But you're not allowed to take from a cow and give it to a donkey. Right? It seems like the brises is talking about two different cases. No, it's talking about the same. It's describing the same animals, the food is going in the same direction, except it's giving a different moniker to each animal in both cases. Both cases, both animals are called Pia Ra and Pia Yafe. But we'll see what the brises mean in a second. Hadigatani notel lilifnei behema shepia yafe. That which we said, you can take from a good animal with a good mouth and give it to an animal with a bad mouth. The good mouth is the chamor, the lesle riri, that doesn't spit and drool when it eats. Right, and i.e. contaminates the food that it sticks its mouth into. You're allowed to take animal from a donkey, food from a donkey to a cow, right? That does, right, the islay read that does drool and spit into the food and leave a residue when it eats. Right, and that when we said we can give food, we can take food from an animal with a bad mouth and give it to a good mouth, that's also talking about from a donkey to a cow. The Piyara is also talking about a chamor, delo daik v'achil, right? Which is not careful. It does not. It's not picky about what it eats. It eats anything, right? So therefore, it's called Piyara. For nosin l'fnei behema shepia yafe shapara daik v'achil, right? And you can give it to an animal that has a nice mouth, i.e., a cow, that is very careful and picky about what it eats. It doesn't eat, you know, whatever. It only eats straw, etc. So the ma'aseh of the din is that you're only allowed to take food from a donkey and not to a cow, because mistama, if you take it from a cow to a donkey, the donkey is not going to eat it because the cow drips and drools and contaminates, quote unquote, the food that it eats. Okay, last Mishnah in the the last Mishnah in the Perek, Hakasha Gabi Amita, if you have straw on top of a bed, lo yinanenu biyado, you shouldn't move it with your hand, ela minana begufo, you should move it with your body. That's tiltul. Minatzah, that's tiltul, well, not exactly, that's actually tiltul begufo. Rashi says, b'ksefa of a tiltul minatzah, d'lo shmei tiltul, right? It's not actual moving, you're allowed to kind of shift it around with your shoulder. Imhaya maicha behema, o shahel of karo sadin, but if that straw was set aside for to be food for animals, or it was stuffed into a pillow or sheets or whatever, then minatzah biyodo, you can even move it with your hand, right? That's already not muktzah, that has a use on Shabbos, right? We're talking about in the case where you have to move it with your body, that's straw that is muktzah. Right, the first Rashi on the Mishnah, if you look, ustama la'asaka, meaning this straw, mustama, if it's just lying around, it's for burning, throwing into a fire, and that obviously would be muktzah, but if you have straw that's set aside for use, either to feed to an animal or to lie on, so that would be mutter to move to the gamri. Mechavish shel bali batim. So this is, if you look in, I don't know if you have the picture Mishnayos from Zeh Shabbos. Mechavish is a, it's kind of like a dry cleaner's press, except that this is shel bali batim that people used to have in their house. If you can imagine two boards that you kind of fasten together, right? You have two boards that slide on four poles. You have four poles up in each corner, one pole in each corner, and you have two poles that slide up and down. Yeah, and when they're pressed together, right, you kind of like screw them in, and the boards then will press together whatever clothing is inside. So that's there's the dry cleaner version and the professional version and the homeowner version, right? I guess like we have washing machines, they used to have presses, right, for their own shirts or whatever. So mechavish shel bali batim matirin avalo kovshin. You're allowed to release. You're allowed to matir, right? Matir asurim, right? Matir asurim. So that's matir, and it doesn't mean that it's mutter. It means you're allowed to release one of these presses if you have it at home and take out the clothing from inside. Avalo kovshin, but you can't actually press down for one of the clothing, one of the for any clothing that's inside. Again, that's going to be let's see over here. Rashi says of a low kosher dined tzorcho, because it's not going to be a malacha. It's going to be because the mastama you're not going to use. Apparently, it was a long process. But it's not, you know, again, on Shabbos, when you release it, so you can take out the shirt, you can use it on Shabbos. But apparently, they would leave it pressed in there for a long time, and to initially press a shirt, that would be a hachana issue of preparing for chol. Vishal kovzin, right, but the professional ones, the dry cleaners, kov mechavish, so lo yigabo, that you can't touch. Right, Rashi says, "Mishay pneishu asu l'takan abegadim." Right, that's already that's dome to stira. It's similar to stira binyan. Right, to I guess Rashi usually holds stira ain't stira binyan bekalim. Okay, all right, I'm mumbling a little bit, but either way, that's going to be an issue because that's a professional. That's going to be what's it called? That's going to be an issue of soser if you take it apart. Okay, sorry. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Maya Mutar Me'erev Shabbos Matir Eskulo V'Shanto. However, if the Mechavish was open on Erev Shabbos, meaning I guess partially, so you can remove the rest of it, you can open the rest of it, and then take out the clothing. So what we'll talk about exactly. I think the Gemara talks about at the end exactly what case that's talking about, but okay, either way, the Maaseh, if it was partially open, so you're allowed to complete and release it so that you can get the clothing from inside. Amar of Nachman. Now we're going to have the Gemara is not really going to talk about the Mishnah so much, it's going to talk about a bunch of different random halachos that kind of we haven't covered yet. Mostly muktzah related. So let's see. Again, because the Mishnah right, did talk about muktzah, started with muktzah about straw. All right, either way, let's go a little by through. Hide pugla, a radish. And we're talking about, again, Rashi says, tsnon, a radish, shetomnen bakarka, that they keep in the ground, right? You pluck it, but then you are toming it. You insulate it in the ground. We've had it that example several times. Milamata shari milamata lamala aser. To take if it's right side up, right from up down, right. Meaning you have like the I guess what do you call it? You have the radish is stored. You have the grass on top of it. I forget the roots. I guess is it a root? I don't even know. But the top of the radish, you can imagine the stalk. If that's pointing up, so then you can take it. But if it's upside down, then you cannot. Mistama, because the dirt is going to fall out. Meaning radishes are kind of like a V shape. So if you stick them in with a point in the ground, when you take them out of the ground, you're not going to really move any dirt. But if it's upside down, so then when you take it out from the bottom up, you're going to move the dirt, and that is an issue. And in a chinami that we learned before, that may not be a problem, but Rav Nachman here holds that it is. Right? And again, that's the Gemara is about to ask him on. Right? This is, again, it's indirect moving. Right? You move, pull out the radish and the dirt moves, dirt is mukta, but that's not what you're doing. You're not moving the dirt on purpose. Right, and as if you look at the last Rashi on the last line of the first Rashi on the Gemara, right, Rashi Dima Masko Hypugla, so at the end, Afal Gav the Tiltul Minitzadhu, right, even though this is indirect moving, Shmei Tiltul the Osir, it's considered moving, and that's Osir according to Rav Nachman. We have quoted this before, that's saying that this case we had before, and it said that perhaps that would be mother, but Rav Nachman says that's Osir. Amar Vada Barava. Amrei Be'rav, Tanina, the low Rav Nachman. Already we learned in a Braisa, not like Rav Nachman. Sorry, one second. Yeah, okay. Hakasha Agabi Amita, right? He quotes our Mishnah. Hakasha Agabi Amita, Lo Yinana Biyado, Avo Menano Begufo, Vimaya Maicho Behema, and Osha Hail of Karo Sadin, Menano Biyado, right? Our Mishnah is a case that the first line of our Mishnah says if the straw is on your bed, you can move it with your shoulder. Right? Shmaminei tiltul min atzad, lo shmei tiltul, apparently, shmaminei, right? You see that tiltul min atzad is not considered tiltul, and that is the halacha. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Hani pilpili medak chada chada bekata disakina. Shari. You're allowed to crush peppers one at a time with the back of a knife, with the handle of a knife. But tarti is usher. But two of them is usher. Now, again, the din is that you're not really allowed to cut things very fine on Shabbos, right? And the malach of tochein, of grinding, is not only, let's say, in a pepper grinder, where you're going to really grind something up. But also, if you're, let's say, you know, the chef's really fine chopping, chop, 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 chop. So that would be usser. So crushing peppers with the back of the knife, so that's not going to, Rashi says, lav tochen, it's not tochen, but kilachar yad. Right, even if you're doing it medak, like Rashi says, daik, you're cutting it like very small. So if you use the back of the knife, that's going to be kilachar yad, and it's not going to be actual tochen. But if you do two at a time, that is going to be that's going to be a problem. Again, because usually they would crush peppers more than one at a time. Right, if you crush pepper one at a time, it's going to take forever. So usually they would do two at a time and with a knife or whatever. So if you do it with the back of the knife and only one at a time, so that is going to be mutter. Now, there is a Beis Yosef here, just to mention, that seems to be a malacha d'araisa. Doing something kelechar yad usually only knocks that down to a derabbanan. So why would he say shari? Shari is a strange lashon over here, that it's straight up mutter. So the Beis Yosef, that kind of sounds like a Rav Chaim. He says that he doesn't say it straight up, but he basically says that there's Sveidina, there's two types of kelachar yad. That there's something when there's something that's kelachar yad and it still resembles the malacha, but the scenario like this that doesn't resemble the malacha at all. When you do some action that's not even bechlal considered to be close to the malacha that you were doing, so that's not going to knock it down to the rabbanan. That's going to be mutar legamrei, because it's not tochen at all. So according to Rav Yehuda, using the back of the knife to chop peppers one at a time is not the chalal comparable to tochen. It doesn't only knock it down to rabbanan, it's not at all considered a malacha whatsoever. Rava, Amar Rava says, Kevin de Mishane, right, Rava disagrees, Kevin de Mishane, Filu Tuvanami. Rava goes one step further. He says, since you're using the back of the knife and not using the actual knife, so you can do as many as you want, right? Because that, again, that is not the chalal token whatsoever. Using the back of the knife, cutting finely, right, who does that? And that's not going to be also whatsoever. Amar Rav Yehuda says, Man desachi b'maya, someone who is in, literally means swimming in water, but if someone is in a river, right? Let's say he's crossing the river. So lignov nafshe bereshe v'hadar lislik. He should dry himself and then go out. Again, it's going to be concerning. We're concerned that it's going to be, carrying the. Well, I guess read the Gemara. Dilma asi lasuy arba amos becarmelis, because you may end up carrying the water, right? Dalad amos in a carmelis, right? Person is soaking wet, his entire body is dripping water, so if you keep on walking after on the riverbank, so you'll be carrying Dalad Amos in a carmelis, that's going to be an issue. So the Gemara says, Yachi, Reiki Kanachis, Nami, Kadachi Kocho, Arba Amos, Dasir. Now, one second, when he goes into the water, so his Kocho, his Koach, pushes the water 4 Amos away from him, so it's also moving water, Dalad Amos, in a carmelis, right? The sea, the river, or whatever it is also carmelis. Where it says kocho by carmelis lo gozer, because there's no din of kocho by carmelis. That when chazal, right, the kocho is indirect moving. It's your force, your issue, your strength is what is moving the item. So that's an iser derabanan to use kocho, but that's not necessarily in a carmelis. So it's maybe that only in Rosh Hashanah. So kocho is going to be mutter. So when you go into the river, that's going to be mutter because you're using kocho, but that's in a carmelis. When you come out of the river, so now you're actually soaking wet. You're carrying the water, enough water to be chayav for carrying. Right, that's going to be an issue because you're going to be walking dalad amos in the carmelis that is mistama on the banks of the river. Amar Rabbi Tamer Rabbi Yehuda tid shalgabi raglav. Let's say you have some sort of mud or clay on your shoe, so mekancho b'karka ve'in mekancho b'kotel. You can scrape it off on the ground, but not on the wall. The Gemara says, "My time of kotel, I'm a rava. My time of kotel lo. Why not?" So mishum de mechzi gavona. What it looks like? You're building, right? How do you build, right? With bricks and clay, right? So you scrape the clay off your foot on a wall. It looks like you're building. Right, Abinin Chalkohu. That's really Chalkohu. It's really lousy building. Right, only the poorest of people are building like this. They scrape the clay off the bottom of their feet. Right, that can't be. Elam Arava Menacho Bakoto VeMenacho Bakarka. This is the other way around. You can scrape it on the wall, which is fine, but don't do it on the ground because Dilma Asi LeShavi Vuyos. Because you may come to smooth out, right, and level the floor, and that, as we said several times, is bona. Itmar, it was said, Mar Bre de Ravina, Amar Echad Zev, Echad Zev, Aser, Rav Papa, Amar Echad Zev, Echad Zev, Mutter. whether there's different opinions in terms of the halacha. Mar bray the Ravina, b'may mekan chilei. What did Mar bray Ravina then? How did he get the? If he said it was usher both ways, how did he get the dirt or the mud off his foot or the clay? So mekan chilei b'kora. He would scrape his foot on a beam, which is neither doesn't look like building and or an issue of mishavi gumos. Amar Rabba says lo leisiv inish apume de lechya. Person shouldn't sit at the edge of a lechi. Right? We say that a lechi is what separates between a mavui and a rishus rabim. So you shouldn't sit on the edge, right by the lechi, because doma megandra lechepetz v'asilasuye. Right, very logical. Right, you're sitting there. If you can imagine sitting there on the sidewalk or whatever, the mavui, and an item comes with you, you're playing with a ball, something drops by, you may forget yourself, and you may bring an item from the mavoi into Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa. Rabba says, lo tzadid inish kova, a person should rock a barrel, to kind of settle it into the ground. Delma'asa, they shuri gumos, because again, if you're kind of settling a barrel into the ground, you may come to smooth out the floor. Rabba, lo lihadak inish udra b'puma deshisha, you shouldn't stick some sort of wet cloth into the mouth of a jug or a barrel. Delma asu b'deschita, you may come to squeeze the liquid out of the cloth plug. Amar of Gahana, tit shal gabi bigdo. If a person has dirt on a person's garment, mechabso mibifnim v'inam mechabso mibachutz. You can clean it from the inside, but you can't clean it from the outside. Right? We're concerned with malabing, cleaning a garment. Right, that you can't take it off from the front, right? Maybe perhaps from the back it would be a mutter. I guess mustama, that's not even similar to malavin when you clean it from the inside. I kind of try and, if you can imagine, like pushing it off, right, let's say you get a big caked on piece of mud. So you can't necessarily scrape it off from the front, but you can try, if it's a little bit dried off, right, you can kind of push it out from the back. All right, either way, you're not in good shape either way. Don't right, be careful with malabe. Maisvi, hold on one second. I see a question. Titzal gavim menalo megadro b'gavasakin. If you have mud or clay on your shoe, you're allowed to take the back of the knife and get it off. Shal bigdo megadro b'tziporen. You're allowed to use a fingernail to get off anything that's on your clothing. Ubul vachle is kaskes, as long as you don't rub it, because that will again be similar to malabe. My lavshle kaskes klal does not seem to imply you're not allowed to rub it at all, right? Even from the inside. No, don't scrape it off from the outside, but rub it from the inside. You can scrape dirt off a new shoe, but not off an old shoe, because what's going to happen? Rashi says, because old shoes, you end up peeling off some of the leather with when you do the scraping. Right? New shoes already, the leather is fresh, it's not going to get peeled off, but you can imagine an old piece of leather, you scrape something off, right? Something will come off it, that's mamachek, that's smoothing it out, that's an iser. So what do you do? So you can use the back of a knife, you can use it on a new shoe, right, as Rashi says, the chadash. You can use the back of a knife to scrape off a new shoe. They won't affect the leather. Amaleh, Husaba said to, who was Rabbi Avo, to send to Rabbi Avo, Same didach mekame hadatani rav chiyah. Right? Same didach. Delete what you said for what Rabbi Chiyah said. Ein megarin lo min al chadash lo min al yashan. You can't scrape either one. V'lo yisoch as raglo shemen. You can't anoint your foot with oil, and you can't. And then, meaning while it's in a shoe, what's the concern here? We're concerned for, I think it's tanning, right? Tanning, or is it Rashi? Ma'abeds, yeah, tanning, yeah, because apparently the way they used to, do the oil. They used to tan the animal by applying oil to the hides. So you can imagine if you have a shoe, a foot inside of a shoe that's made out of leather, and you pour oil all over your foot, so that's going to automatically, harden or tan or improve the leather. Avosakish ragel shemen, but you are allowed, says the Gemara, to put oil on your shoe, on your foot, or miniach betoch aminel o betoch asandal, and then put it in. Right, mistala, it's not going to, come off. as much, right? Because you're not pouring it straight on. V'sach kol gufo shemenu mis'aga lagabi katavlia. You're allowed to put oil all over your entire body, and then kind of mit'agel, Rashi says, mit'galgel, to roll yourself on katavlia. Rashi says, or a big piece of leather. It's a very kind of a funny image, but okay, fine. Because if you don't have to be concerned, and it's not going to be ma'abid, it's not going to be tanning the leather. And the only way you're allowed to put the oil on your foot and put it into the shoe, that's if you're intending to make the shoe a little shinier. But if you're trying to tan the leather, so that's awesome. The Gemara says, one second, la'abdo pshito, it's obvious that if you're trying to tan the leather, that's a malach d'araisa. Vesu l'tzachtachol mi ikam adishari. No one allows you to polish leathers, right? That should be, right? Mistama, that's at least, or again, if you're rubbing oil on the leather, if your intent is to tan it, then it's asur d'araisa. If your intent is to polish it, that's a very similar action. Mistama, that's Aser midirabanan, right? As Rashi says, lemegzor atu leabdo, right? For sure, that should be exera. Eli iet barachim. Rather, this is what it meant to say. Amar chista lo shelo ela shir letzatzachol. The only amount of oil you're allowed to put on your foot is the amount of oil you would use to polish the shoe of al shir leabdo. But apparently, you would use a lot more oil to tan the leather and make it better and harder, or whatever. So, if you use that amount of oil, even if that's you're not trying to tan the leather, that is going to be usher. Okay. Tanu Rabbanu Lo Yitze Katan B'Minal Gadol. A katan shouldn't go out. Right? You see the kids very often will stick their feet into the parents' shoes. That's very funny. But they shouldn't go into the Rishus Rabbim with that, as Rashi says, because maybe it'll fall off the foot, and then he may carry it, right? Very logical that it will fall off. Aval yetze hu b'cholakodol. The person can go out with a big shirt. So if, let's say your kid takes your shirt and runs out to the Shusar Abim, right? much less likely that he'll take off his shirt than that the shoe will slip off and you'll carry it. V'lo setze isha b'min al marupa. So a woman shouldn't go out in a shoe that is torn. V'lo saklots bo, and she shouldn't do chalitza with a shoe that is torn. But v'imchatza chalitza z'kshera. But it is still considered a shoe, enough of a shoe that if she does chalitza with that torn shoe, then it is considered a good chalitza. It's just not recommended because, again, there's torn and there's torn. So at some point, the shoe's going to get messed up. So the shoe needs to be usable and wearable to count as an actual shoe. So you're just playing with fire. It's very close. Vein yotzim min al chadash, and she's not allowed to go out with a new shoe on Shabbos. Gemara says, be'ezo min al amru, b'min al shal isha. I'm talking about a woman's shoe. Again, because I'm not sure that if it doesn't fit right, maybe she'll carry it, etc. Tani Bar Kapara said, Lo shanu ela shelo yotza bo sha'achas mi b'yom. And that's only if she hasn't worn it yet. Aval yotza, lo b'er Shabbos mother, but if she wore it already, so then she's comfortable enough with how it fits. And we're not concerned that she'll take it off and they won't be comfortable, etc. Tani chade will another b'risa. Shomtin, well, at least in one b'risa, shomtin min al mal imus. An imus is a shoe mold. If you're making a mold for a shoe, right, you wrap some leather around a piece of, let's say, wood that looks like a foot, or at least that should mold the shoe. So the leather is around the shoe mold. So you're allowed to take it off, says one b'risa. V'tanidach, another b'risa says you're not allowed to take the shoe off of the mold. So the Gemara says, tries to explain what's going on. Lo kasha, ha Rabbi Lezer, ha Rabbana. Titzan, minol shal gabi imus, Rabbi Lezer metayr, v'chachamim metamim. If you have a shoe on this shoe mold, that the shoemaker is still working on it, or he finished, but he left it on the mold. So Rabbi Lezer says it's tahor, i.e. it's not considered a kli. Chachamim say it's tame, i.e. it is considered a kli, if it's finished, but still on the shoe mold. So again, according to Rabbi Elazar, if it's not yet a kli, so you're not allowed to take it off on Shabbos. If it is a kli, then obviously it's not mukta, and you are allowed to take it off the mold on Shabbos. So honey, chalav rava de amar davar shemalach lo iser ben tzarich guvo ben tzarich makomo amuter. But that only works according to Rava, who holds that the kli shemalach lo iser Whether it, again, the shoe mold is a klisha malacha le'isra, you're not allowed to make shoes on Shabbos. But then when you take the shoe off the mold, so on the stomach you're going to move the mold. So according to Rava, who says that you're allowed to move a klisha malacha le'isra, whether you need it or you need its space, i.e., this the shoe that's on the mold. So shoper, that works fine. Ella baye the amar the tzorach. Gufo mutter, but according to Abaye, he says that you're allowed to move a klisha malachta le'isr for itself, but the tzarech makomo aser, but you're not allowed to move it for the space that it occupies, i.e., for the shoe that's around it. My yikilamemar, what are you going to say? How are you going to tell me? How are you going to explain this mission, this steer and prices? So Gemara says, hachav ma'eskinan barafui. The case is where the shoe is not tight around the shoe mold. So therefore, you can just slip off the shoe without moving the mold at all. And that's how Abaye is going to understand this case. Right? If the shoe is loosely on the mold, so then it is mutter to move it. So taima de rafui. The only reason that it's mutter is because it's loose. Halo rafui, but if it's not, then lo. Then it's not. Problem is, that works great for Abaye. But flip it back onto Rava, so that's a problem for Rava. Right, that all works according to the bias sheet that you just explained, because you're not moving the mold. Right, so it has to be a case where it's loose. But according to Rava, who said that you can move the mold regardless, my eerie Rafui, why did Rabbi Yehuda have to say that they were dealing with a loose fitting shoe on the mold? I feel Rafui Nami, even if it's not tight, even if it's not loose, it should still be mutter. According to Rava. So I heed Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Elazar. Because according to Rava, that's not related to our case. That's Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. And again, Rabbi Eliezer said Rabbi Yehuda was only within the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said that the mold is, that a shoe that's still on the mold is not allowed to be moved. So therefore, when would Rabbi Eliezer say that it's mutter to move it? That's when it's loose, because it's when it, once it's loose on the shoe mold, then it's already considered a kli. Rabbi Eliezer holds that every time the shoe is still tight fitting on the mold, it's still a work in progress, so it's not considered a kli. But if it's loose and mistama, it's not being worked on anymore, right, you just put it there to hang or whatever it is, so then it's not being worked, then it's already considered a kli. Titanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum, Rabbi Eliezer, Imhaya Rafli Motor, right again, if it was loose around the mold, so then it is mutter. Again, the shoe is considered a kli, and mistama, Rabbi Eliezer would agree that it is metame. Okay, Hadron Alach Tolin, and tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, we go weiter in the Heilige Shas with Perek Notel. Very exciting. Rabose, have a great week. Shavuot Tov, a good devach, and Besaris Tavos. May this Shavuot Shechabo, may be Mizocha to hear this shir in Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh with the base. Mikdash. Have a great night or day, depending on where you're listening to this.